Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Horrible Podcast. I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Drew.
I'm Lona.
And tonight,
thanks for joining us.
Hey, sorry about that. Brian, that's my fault. I've only got one headphone on, so I can't be... I'm like the wallflowers. I can't be trusted for anything.
Tyler, it's fine.
I can't be trusted with anything. I got one headlight. I think I can make it home, but I don't know. The only thing that's changed is you haven't changed.
Just don't
or whatever that lyric was.
The only difference, you mean?
The only difference, that's right. That's also a different Wildflower song, I think. But that's all I got. Yeah.
What was the? Didn't they have another big hit for
the Three Marlenas? Soundtrack? Oh, well, they had the Three Marlenas. They covered a Warren Zevon song. They had the Sixth Avenue Heartache.
Sixth Avenue Heartache,
yeah.
which I liked. That was their first single, and I liked it.
That was a good jam.
That I think that album was pretty good, but I only listened to like three songs on it. So that was mostly my '90s. I only listened to three songs off album.
You wanna let's bring it back around to last week's episode. Guest vocalist on Sixth Avenue Heartache, Adam Derwitz.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird.
He's in the background. All he says is he's like Michael McDonald in the Christopher Cross song Ride Like the Wind.
Oh,
here is Sixth Avenue Heartache. That's Adam
Derwitz.
Gotcha.
Ride Like the Wind now.
And I've got such a long way to go. Such a long way to go.
That's not a bad Michael McDonald. You could just about take that to a YouTube video.
Shine, sweet freedom. Shine your light on me. You are the power. You're right where I want to be.
Stop using your Just for Men. Just go gray.
I may do it.
I think the fact that you can just pull out a Michael McDonald like that says something really specific about you. Like, I don't know what it is, but it says something about
throw
you.
Soft rock artist from the 70s and 80s out at me. I'll see if I can throw one out at you.
Pablo Cruz? Is that
you gonna do when she says goodbye?
I'm out of them. Toto? That doesn't count.
Toto?
That would count, yeah.
How about 99, I've been waiting for you. I pulled out a deep Toto track, too.
Yeah,
you didn't pull out Toto line. Yeah.
No, I went deep Toto.
Well, yeah.
Going deep Toto is what I expect out of you.
Brian doesn't
go Africa.
Sounds like a porn code.
Right.
I was actually we were talking about, I was in Jamaica this past weekend and found ourselves in a conversation talking about Tub Girl and Lemon Party. And I was, it actually ties back to last week's episode too, where Brian, you were asking like, don't you ever get a thrill out of telling people about shit that they don't know about or want to know about? And that happened to me because I was at the center of the story where I was like, yeah, here are all these crazy things that, I mean, they're dated references at this point, but most people, I guess, just have never heard of them.
No, I know. And it felt great, didn't it?
It kind of did. Like, it kind of felt like, now I know what it felt like to be the first person to make religion out of whole cloth and then tell it to people. Like, oh, there's this thing, you know, like, see the sun up there? There's a guy who lives like even beyond that. No way. Like, that's what I imagined myself doing. But instead, it was shitting on people.
The Ricky Gervais invention of lying, that when he comes up with all the rules, like, and everyone's, he's like the only person to ever have thought to not tell the truth.
I think that movie's okay.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's there are those movies that are like you watch them like that was fine.
It's weird that he had a movie career.
That was one of the more painful theatrical experiences I've had because I knew what to expect, but I felt a lot of people in there didn't, and so I would spend more time watching them to see how they reacted to it.
Yeah. It was simultaneously funny and depressing as hell.
It was the second half especially. I feel like that movie hit the tone of what I think Ricky Gervais is, but Ghost Town or whatever. Do you remember that one where it was him and...
Oh, yeah.
What's his name? The guy... Shit. I can't remember.
I can't remember now either.
He was the guy... He's the guy who's in... he was in Baby Mama and he was in... not Something's Gotta Give, but the
Greg Kinnear,
totally. Yeah. He was in it.
I got it from Baby Mama, sadly enough.
Yeah.
Did it have the song by Cheap Trick off of their the Flame album that goes
It's
like a ghost town.
No. Yes. It did, and it was the only song on the soundtrack, and they just kind of played it the entire movie. And it drowned out
kinda like
it just drowned out the entire movie.
like Show Me a Hero is just Bruce Springsteen songs whenever Oscar Isaac's on screen.
Yeah. Speaking like of Oscar Isaac, I think that guy's a phenomenal actor. Is that? I don't think that's too ambitious a statement. Yeah.
No, I think he's great.
He was awesome in Ex Machina. I could not believe how good he was in that movie.
Check out Most Violent Year and Show Me a Hero. And I
Inside Llewyn Davis.
There's a little Inside movie Llewyn coming Davis. Out at Christmas called
Inside Llewyn Davis.
Star Wars.
Ooh,
never seen it.
This
Lona's not going to see it.
Lona is not joking.
Lona, you have to keep it up now. Like at this point, you just kind of have to not see Star Wars. That's your gig.
I kind of be honest, like we watched this movie and I was really excited because I'd never seen it and it was something I was supposed to see in my childhood. Maybe I shouldn't watch everything.
Yeah.
I was kind of sad. I don't want to watch Star Wars and be sad because then I feel like no one will ever like me again. And so few people do already. It was like, what?
This movie was like meeting your hero. You know, you never want to meet your hero because they're going to disappoint you.
But it is kind of like meet your meat.
No, it was like losing your virginity. Because that's done.
I hear that's amazing.
I only saw The Worst Faces of Death is what it was called. It's the 87. It was like a compilation, essentially. That's the only one I had seen prior to this one. And
see, guys, the movie we're doing tonight is 1978's Faces of Death.
Yeah. Which I... You know, I sort of lobbied entirely too hard for this movie, but based entirely, like I have a defense. I really do. My defense is that when I watched it in high school, I did not know it was fake. I just did not know it was fake when
well,
I was
not
in high school.
Well, not all of it is fake, right?
Now you didn't.
Hmm? But not like, all of it is fake. There's like 8% that's real.
The animal stuff, which is why you set up the entire first half of the movie being real footage of animals dying, is so when you get to the fake human stuff, you've established enough realism that people are probably going to buy a chunk of the rest of it.
But I did not like I hadn't heard that it was faked, and I spent
like,
most of the
like
first.
Now?
What? What do you mean?
Like, when did you find out it was fake?
After high school.
Okay. All right. At least.
Do you think?
He's asking if he thought maybe you didn't find out it was fake until this week.
Yeah, I was just making sure.
No. Like.
Okay.
It was in high school. We rented a whole bunch of them. It was like there was a group of like 15 of us who thought it's Christmas break. Why not give this a try to get in the holiday spirit? So we watched.
That's the reason for the season.
We watched four. That's actually the second time I've heard that today. It's so weird. But we watched four of them in 2 days. Like we would watch one and take a break and then come back and reconvene and watch like the second one. And I spent most of it just in a horrified, like shame spiral, just like in denial that it was actually happening. I mean, it's fake. Like, it's totally fake. And I feel almost terrible because even watching it, I was like, it's going to still look horrifying. But no, it just looks like a movie with really cheap effects, like super cheap effects.
Like what looked real? What did look real in her? What seemed real? The alligator attack.
They did a good
job. Did I just make Tyler leave?
He's really upset that this wasn't really real.
He's like, he can't stand it.
He didn't want to see his face of sadness, so he had to just get out.
That's even worse play on faces of sadness.
It's just a bunch of middle-aged women at a softball game, just scrolling down the bleachers.
Or a bunch of middle-aged women at their girls' retreat in, you know.
And only one is, like, truly happy.
It's like that. It's the Amy Schumer House in Maine sketch. The bit of bakery in Maine. What tipped me off always was the guy's name was Francis B. Gross.
No, but there was an umlaut. So how do you pronounce that with an umlaut?
Grosse.
Grosse.
Gross. I think it's gross.
The first half of this movie was as
you tried to figure that out how to pronounce that.
No, it was like I was back at work. I was like, Jesus Christ! I don't
remember. I bet. Yeah.
I don't. That's the weird thing is I don't remember all the animal stuff taking up so much of this movie, but I do, like, I remember, because I haven't seen it. Like, I can literally say I haven't seen it in 20 years now. That's such a weird statement. And
well, you can't say that now.
True. That's very true.
I would have liked to, one of us to not watch it and just recollect from when we were younger watching this for the first time.
It just, well, obviously, you were Tyler, because Lone and I both said we had not seen it.
Brian, when did you see it?
I saw it probably 1990,
1991. Oh, okay. So you also, like, you knew, I thought that I was the one who had sort of, like, dragged you guys into this. And
oh, no. I was Faces of Death was a huge fixture on our, we had a couple of video stores in Chattanooga. One was, you know, and most of them were, you know, your normal fare, but there was one that had, like, the dark horror section where you'd kind of, like, it also would feed into the porn section.
Yeah. It's like the middle. Like, it's the weird thing that it's like the middle ground. Like, it's for some reason, it's associated with that. And I think that's the reason.
It's so weak in that regard.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's so weak because it's not. And also, like, its reputation precedes it. Like, it really is not about the actual content of it. Because even, like, if you read, there's, I can't remember the guy's name, but his last name is Schwartz.
Yeah.
Ben, it's not Ben Schwartz, but it might be Don Schwartz or something. But he's the mastermind behind this. And he even wrote
Alvin Schwartz.
Alvin Schwartz. He even wrote a piece about it once where he talked about how it was supposed to be this Japanese only release, and it was just meant to be this little tiny thing. And then he turns on the TV and Dan Rather's talking about it. And then suddenly it's banned in 40 countries. And I mean, they spent less than $1 million on this thing. And it ended up grossing over $35 million.
I think the biggest.
I made that up. That was not Alvin Schwartz. Oh. It was John Schwartz. John Schwartz. Isn't that Scariest Stories to Tell in the Dark?
I don't know.
I knew that guy.
Which may be scarier than this.
Faces of Death is actually his adult version of that.
The other way that I kind of realized that it's staged is that.
It's staged?
It's staged, but that film costs a lot of money. Yeah. And these people were, you know, 3-point lighting, all sorts of shit going on. That this is, there's no way that this first, and also the cop with his, you know, did someone call me? Thank you for the call.
Nope. Right.
Is there a problem? I will go here where it is.
Like, you know too much about movies nowadays to realize, like, so we're supposed to believe that, like, even the way it's set up, like, this guy has gone to all these places, and even if, like, all right, well, obviously he hasn't, still, in, like, the cave scene, there was someone with a camera on the other side of where they were, you know, rappelling down, or that there was someone else in the, what was the other sequence I wanted to mention? Now I can't
remember. That's always my argument for reality TV shows for the surprise. Is like, wait, there's a camera on the other side filming. Don't they know something's up?
Right.
It's also, I mean, but when I watched in high school, it was, I spent the moments that were not in complete agony watching people I thought being murdered or dying. It was the respite. Like, I wasn't thinking at those moments like, man, this looks really fake. Like, I was thinking like, thank God there's a minute where someone's not dying, because I thought it was all fucking real. So, well, and under also, that illusion, it's even more horrific. Like, if you live under the illusion that that shit is real, just like people with ghosts, people who believe ghosts are real, anytime they think they see one, they're like, but I don't believe in them. So
let's don't forget to get to that last segment. Oh,
so right. Let's talk about like what Faces of Death is. Like, we've talked about our impressions of it, but like, what can we tell, like, for audience members who may have never heard of this, like, reviled, horrific thing, like, what is it?
It's a faux documentary with some real footage sprinkled in to make it look real. It's a documentary. It's a purported documentary about death.
Yeah, which it is. Like, it goes to great lengths to legitimize itself, I think. I don't think that it was just to hoodwink the audience. I think that, because what the John Schwartz said is that they tried to find as much stock footage of dead people as they could. And, like, the one true sequence in there is the woman who jumps off the building. They just didn't have a shot of the dead body, so they cut in that part.
With that awful brain that you could, like, see, yeah. like a whole tiny brain that was outside there.
Jello mold.
Yeah.
And then my favorite part of this movie was also the random things that this pathologist would do, he's talking while he's doing his autopsies, and then he would just be handed a random jar with a something. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
It seems.
But didn't you want to fix his glasses? Didn't you want to just straighten his glasses his eyes. The whole time?
All I kept thinking of the whole time was like, God, Donald Sutherland does not look good.
Do you think, I mean, do you think that part of it was intentional camp? I mean, his name was Eric
Francis Dr. B. Gross.
Francis B. Gross. Like, there had, like, tongue was planted in cheek for it.
I think knew what they were doing.
But for me, that was like the most horrific part in high school, too, was that they seemed to know that they were showing people horrific things and didn't give a shit. Like, there's the scene where, like, the woman cuts the chicken's head off, and in the background, they're playing Old MacDonald, like, a really ominous version of Old MacDonald Had a Farm.
It's fucking awesome, though. Yeah. It's
like, I have that in here. The ridiculous. Played in a minor key.
Yeah. I thought, like, these people, like, they're just kind of, because I thought that the Francis B. Gross thing, like, when I was in high school, I thought, like, we don't give a shit about people dying. This is us mocking death. Because this was also the shock jock, the height of, like, shock jocularness. And so, like, I kind of felt that this was them sneering at death. And that was also the part of it that made me really uncomfortable.
Well, that and Jesus.
Right. That and Jesus. Although this movie, I can tell you this for a fact. This movie is what like started me to say curse words. Yeah, so the scene, and in retrospect, it's really dumb. So
I think someone's going to kill Lona right now.
I know. She's looking.
I hear people screaming in my street. I'm sorry.
So maybe you can get your own. Yeah, maybe you can get your own Faces of Death going.
Yes, I could.
So,
oh, my gosh.
We'll get to this, I think, in our talk, is that why Faces of Death no longer is a such a shocking thing, as well as nowadays this movie could be shown in high school as a documentary.
Yeah.
But it needs it cries out more than anything else to be remade as found footage.
Yeah.
Like totally. Mm-hmm.
The best sequence was like the fucking bear sequence.
Yeah.
Come here, bear. You got these two people that are filming it themselves. It's one of the few sequences you got that felt like, oh, these people they found this footage. Like, I mean, the closest you have to it now with someone trying is the still fucking unreleased Poughkeepsie tapes.
Yeah.
It's the same idea, though, of showing of a documentary, a fake documentary about real death.
I think we should call them fockumentaries.
Yeah.
Fake documentary. Right. Yeah. My favorite sequence, I think, was when they had the criminal hold up in the house and they were shooting and all the cops were running around like assholes. Like, and the cameraman's just like standing next to a car while a firefight is going on. I'm like, yeah. Okay, I see why it looks fake now.
My comment about that part was, are we sure Mike killed his family, or did the police with all their random shots into the house kill his family?
There were no blood packets with the squibs. The blood was all put in later.
Yeah,
like really? The dead body. Like when they got shot, no one bled, but then you'd go walk up to the body and they're all bleeding.
Yeah.
I think when I watched this originally, you know, at that point I'd never seen animals, you know,
killed,
slaughtered, and all that kind of stuff in my life. But I think what finally was any question I had about it being real was the cult. And I was like, oh, yes, let us allow this stranger to film us basically murder and cannibalize this person with no repercussions.
Well, I like how he talked about cults, and then he's like, and also religion. And I was like, is that not just really? Could we not have just done this in one
thing? And then of course they're going to have an orgy, because what party in the 70s didn't break down into a sitar laden orgy?
I loved it. There are things. Okay, so this movie is a ridiculous joke. I mean, I'll be honest about that. But it's also kind of
joke all the way to the bank.
Yeah, but it's also kind of amazing. Like, when you think about the lengths that they went to try, they probably could have murdered people for less than $500,000. But the lengths that they go to.
Well, yeah, they had to get film.
Yeah, like the lengths they went to in order to make this fake thing was really kind of amazing to me. Some of the sequences are kind of like are interesting in their own rights. Like, they're a failure, but they're also, I mean, no one was really doing this. I mean, this is kind of a singular. I mean, can you think of any other examples of movies that tried to do this?
No, I think
Cannibal Holocaust, maybe.
That's what I was thinking. But this is also the time period, though, where people were trying to, that's 80, so that's still after this, but people were trying to make things to get that fake band. This is real. Kind of, I mean, that was the thing. Like, that was where they were going. Like, they couldn't figure out what was the next step to be extreme. And at that point it was, well, let's make it seem real.
Well, this is, I mean, this is the logical extension of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's the next step. And I feel like in a lot of ways it's successful because people thought it was real for a long time.
Well, I think it's it's hard to watch with our eyes. Like we said, yeah, we know all these other things about filmmaking itself, but watching this in a more innocent film time, like, I mean, I understand exactly why people bought into it.
I mean, I'm pretty sure, you know, I remember begging and pleading to rent this when I was, you know, in high school. And this was like the one film that my father like put his foot down. And I'm pretty sure it's because he really believed that it was real. And so I totally thought it was real for years. And like, then you find out it's not and you're a little disappointed, but then you watch it and you're like, really, how did anyone think that?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Like,
I can't tell. I can't think.
Brian, did you think it was real?
Well, when I first saw it, sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
me too.
That's what I'm saying. Is it when this in the, so from the time that it came out to the time that VCRs were in everyone's home, and then the idea of renting movies, this movie was like the, for people like me who loved horror films, was like the holy grail. Like, this is what people, this is what people wanted to see, and we looked everywhere for it. So when it finally, like, was, we were finally able to see it, it was like there was no way that the hype could match up to what we imagined it would show. But at the time, some of this, you know, I was still naive. Like, I couldn't tell you whether or not these were faked or not. So,
neither.
Yeah, like we talked about earlier, like, we didn't know anything about film and how things were made. So how would we know that they would, like, stage this stuff?
I also didn't think anyone would be that cynical. Like, I didn't think anyone would be cynical enough. And that just proves how naive I was, that I thought no one would knowingly do this. And at this point, they had, by the time I had watched it, other, do you guys remember like the Banned from TV thing that came out? It was like a series of videos that they used to advertise on like television. That had come out, and that really did have people dying. And so I saw Faces of Death after I saw that. So I just thought that it was cashing in on this morose thing, and not that people were sort of cynically making this thing. Nor did I know that it, like, people would try to make a piece of art like this. This was not something I would have even imagined in the 90s.
Well, I mean, the internet has also killed something like this too. Because at that time period, I mean, you had no idea, but you also couldn't then just immediately go and fact check it. All you had was, you know, what you had heard. Remember all the dumbass shit that we believed at that point, though, because we couldn't fact check anything. I mean, I still remember going to summer camp and some kid telling me, mosquitoes will give you AIDS now.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And how do you fact check that? As a kid, you're just like, oh, shit, I just got bit by a mosquito.
It's the argument of, like, why iPhones and stuff have ruined any arguments you have with people at a dinner, because you can instantly
debunk Montana. Where's Dubuque?
So I can
Iowa, Dubuque, Iowa. You can Dubuque, Iowa, anyone's point.
So I would debunk any anything someone said, and you couldn't do it. You had to just have this argument for years.
We need to make that app, and what it is, it's an app that immediately buys someone a ticket to Dubuque when you've proven them wrong. You just immediately Dubuque.
Someone wants to back that, be fine.
Our GoFundMe account will be up.
No, but what Drew said about the internet, though, like, not it also gives you, I can find any terrible gross, like, because of LiveLeak, I can watch any terrible death now. Like, I can say, oh, I wonder if anyone has ever been mauled by a dog while simultaneously being struck by lightning, while also, you know, accidentally falling down on a ladder and breaking all of his bones.
That was actually on Reddit yesterday.
We'll see.
I'm kidding.
It's just, it sounds really, like, sad and terrible, and it makes me think I'm probably a worse person than it makes me as terrible as I really am. But it's just like, there's no original death anymore. So watching it now, I was just like, huh, all right. And I was just so disappointed. I expected it to be something a lot more sinister, I think.
Well, did
than
you?
Like, cows. I mean,
it's really friendly and nice, honestly, overall.
And it actually concerns.
it's like concerned a gentle, about you philosophically.
Yeah, yeah. Some guy who's like waxing philosophical about death with no transitions whatsoever for an hour and 45 minutes. Like
too long. It was way too long.
It was so fucking long.
Yeah.
And oh my God.
His comments though about like wearing animal fur and the meat. I was like, this is actually quite poignant. And at the time, I didn't realize I was being. It, who knows? This could have seeped into my subconscious as to why I am. You know, liberal and, you know.
Yeah. Is it why you don't have a seal coat?
I will never wear seal again.
I mean,
how about the when it got all environmental and plays the Jesus Doesn't Live Here Anymore song?
I love that song. I actually
well,
really
I thought
like
it was weird
song.
At the end where he like just someone like went through like my backyard in the town I grew up in and took pictures of nature. I was just.
With a mom and her baby.
It was like, a bunch of. Yeah.
They didn't even show her giving birth to the kid.
Because it wasn't real. They showed her in pain.
Yeah, but they didn't.
Yeah,
but
she screamed once, and then she just relaxed.
But that was too that's crazy. That childbirth was too graphic for this movie.
I thought she was going to give birth to a dead baby, and I was really fucking excited that we were going out on like a super high note. And then they cut to like scenes of baby dolphins and Bambi and like
the most 70s. The most 70s end credits.
After the ghost segment, I was hoping for something to be a little stronger on.
But see, that was my thing. Even if you thought it was real, when you got to the part about the medium, how did you buy that?
Jesus.
Really?
I don't remember. I don't know that we...
And I got so mad at that guy because he looks like the trailer park guy. And he was sitting there and his kid's screaming about being scared. And he's like, but I love you. And I'm like, this is not how this is supposed to work. Like, this is all wrong. This is the terrible faces of death. And
Faces of suck.
I think, too, when I was in high school, that I think after... I thought the execution was real because to my high school eyes, it did look what I imagined it would look like. I think we shut it off. I actually think that's the moment I started cursing. I think that I saw that and said, fuck this, and went to a high school basketball game. And that's when I started saying curse words. But we picked back up with 2 and 3 and 4. And 4 is really by far the best faces of death because the staging, like it has a staged... execution where a guy is pulled apart by four horses, and there are some horrific things in that, but I think it's also still too a lot of the like it gets more audacious and in its fakery like this
it's like the what's that movie called that where the death chases you, the Final Destination,
it follows,
like it becomes the Final Destination of Faces of Death.
Like it's people getting ripped apart by horses, and it's a magician who gets knifed in the face because his trick breaks. And in retrospect, like it all looks really dumb. Like I kind of want to revisit the series and go like maybe it will help me face down the sort of pall that hung over this series for me throughout my like late teens.
Well, I don't know. I was always trying to figure out which one I did watch. Because
4 is the horrific, but 4 also has, I think 4 also ends on a sequence where a woman, it becomes Pulp Fiction because a woman gets pulled out of a lake next to a nuclear facility and she has a leech on her leg that's a foot, like a foot and a half long. And it, like it, they say like she died because it got to her femoral artery or like whatever artery that is, like they weren't able to cut through it in time and she bled to death right there. And then it like pans over. Actually, I think the whole series revolves around nature and the environment.
So it's a theme.
Yeah, because like, and then it pans over to the nuclear facility, like pumping smoke into the air, which it wasn't even a nuclear facility because it was like pumping smoke in the air. I think it was just like a regular factor, like a paper mill.
This movie just, it does capture a more, like we said, a more innocent time for us when, like, the faces of death is something that we're just presented, like, things that are worse than what happens in this movie we're presented with daily.
Yeah, like today.
For example, the...
Such a weird coincidence.
The double murder of the reporting crew up in Virginia that a disgruntled employee shot them both on camera, then uploaded his video to Facebook.
And then, literally a face of death.
Uploaded his video, which looked exactly like a scene from Doom, but that is just something that we see now.
Even some of that stuff had already happened. That's still the weird thing about this. Like, there's nothing. There's like the monk in Vietnam that's burning himself and even there's a guy they got caught. Where was it? It was in California, maybe somewhere years ago. Where in the middle of the day, this guy got out and killed himself on the highway, and everyone mm-hmm. was, the news was filming it and watching it at the time, and they aired it live right then.
Well, there was also the
politician that shoots himself.
Well, that's in one of the Faces of Death, I think.
But all that stuff is different than the thing today, because you're lighting yourself on fire or you're killing yourself. Like, when I watched that video today, her panic and her screaming, that unsettled me more than anything has in a really long time.
Yeah.
And it was just very... There's something almost like you watch someone do something to themselves and you're just like, wow, that was terrible. But you just... That... Witnessing someone's last moments like that actually bothered me a lot more than I thought it would.
It does.
That's
like,
fair, yeah.
It's like the... I mean, watching anybody's last moments like that is just horrific. And there was a time when I found out about all of the stuff that I sought it out. And that's definitely in my rearview mirror. But I've seen enough that it just, when I see something like this, I mean, I'm at the point in my life where life feels way more precious now that I'm in my 30s than when I was in my 20s. Because I was like, whatever. I'm going to be invincible.
People start dying around us now.
Yeah. And so like now we're at the age where like that sort of thing really... because both of the people who died were engaged, and like they were 24 years old, and like I'm at an age now where I can say like those are way younger people than I am. Like those are they're kids basically. Yeah, I see them as like kids now because 24, I'm a decade older than those people. So I feel like that's a horrific, horrific thing. And yeah, I actually saw it today at work, and I just could not get over it the rest of the day. I just could not get past it. It's like it's horrifying.
The thing that always has set out, like all the crap I've seen on the internet, all the death that I deal with on a daily basis. To this day, the thing that's bothered me always on TV, something I've seen, I've watched was I think it may have been on the HBO autopsy series, but there was a recorded phone call of a woman who's obviously in the last minutes of death. As she was on the phone with 911, and they played it as a over like her murder, like they're investigating her murder, and that is always the thing that haunts me. It wasn't the seeing; it was just the hearing hearing that the desperation in her voice, and like you could tell that she knew it was over for her. That's the thing that always sticks out to me. Not the seeing things; it's just that one thing always sticks out to me as the most disturbing. I guess we'd call it sound of death instead of ears of death.
I think the question that is begged to be asked here is what is the connection between the two? Like, what is the connection between the feeling that we get when something real happens and this connection? Like, is this just us seeking out a way of dealing? Like, is it a catharsis thing where we just want to like feel the sort of things that we feel when people actually die, like that kind of sickness in the pit of your stomach? Or is it kind of like it used to be a way of protecting us from death in a way because we get to see it and then like it's staging for the real thing when it happens. But these shootings happen, for example, so often now that there's really no way to really prepare for them or have like a genuine response because it's like, well, they happen so often. It's like I feel the same numbness that I feel all the time with it. I mean, it's really just horrifying. I don't know. Like, what is the relationship between something like Faces of Death or Three Guys, One Hammer and all of this?
Well, I think that I Three Guys, One Hammer, that kind of stuff. I feel the same for all of them it bothers me to, there's such a mystery about death and what happens afterwards. And it's just so final that it's just so, I mean, I guess you just don't know how to process it. So in my way of dealing with it is I just keep watching it because out of curiosity, but also out of this feeling like I can't explain what's going on and why I feel like I need to keep watching it.
Yeah, I just feel this weird sense of embarrassment when I see a dead body. And it's not embarrassment that I feel for myself, but just for someone's privacy. Like when you're dead, you're dead. Like I don't think that you're there, but it's this weird sense of like looking at a dead body, I feel this weird sense of embarrassment at someone's sort of like death and all of that being either exploited or being seen. Like there's almost something so private about death that having being privy to it makes me uncomfortable. I don't know, because it makes me feel like I don't want people, like all the people at the beginning of the movie that were shown in the autopsy room. I don't want someone to film that. I don't want to be stacked, because there was the one scene where the two bodies were stacked on top of one another
with the knitted booties.
Yeah,
that did bother me.
I don't know. Like, I think that in particular really bothered me, because I don't want people to see that aspect of when I go. Like, I don't want that to. I don't want to be put on display in that way. And I just, I don't know, like that sort of stuff weirds me out. I don't know. I don't know. The animal stuff really bothered me too, but in a, like in an entirely different way. That related more to the brutality of sort of human interference. I don't know.
Well, they made a good point in that, in the animal slaughter parts, is that once the novelty wears off, it's just brutality. And that's, I mean, all they...
You can speak to that, right?
My way of dealing with it is it's, you know, I'm not, well, first of all, I'm not actually killing the animals.
They
come to me. So it's a little bit of a disconnect between that as well. It's just a body at that point to me.
Mm-hmm. You're their house. You're trying to solve their murder.
Right. So
when I think of Brian, I always think of House MD. I do.
It's the cane.
It is. It's the cane, and he's 6'3" and speaks with a British accent when he's not on camera.
Exactly. I'm surprised I haven't slipped up at all.
I know. I mean, you do sometimes, but usually it comes off. You sound more
laboratory.
Like a woman. Yeah.
Aluminium.
But yeah. What's the thing you
the
say?
The ones no one notices.
In me shitter.
Yeah. Hey, could you mind putting that cram in your finger in me shitter?
gotta go to the WC.
The what? The water.
The WC.
I'm up in the queue.
Hold on a second. Gotta put something in my boot.
I live in a flat.
Go ahead. Sorry, Brian.
No, the movie is I think we chose it too because of the nostalgia factor. Yeah. We may have said that already plenty of times, but it is, I guess, the purest form of what horrifies us in horror movies. Kind of, you know, it's
boiled down. Like, it's,
yeah, we've got the
concentrate
essence of it.
Yeah, it's death concentrate.
Like, yes, that's it. That's what it is. It's like it's like someone finally cut through all the bullshit conversation and just showed us the bodies, which is what we wanted to see anyway.
Yeah, like I think that's really an interesting statement, because it when I watch these things and when I see horrific stuff on the internet, it makes me question why I like horror movies and like why I'm the kind of person who seeks them out. Like, what is it? Because it's not entirely the fear of it, because I don't. Horror movies don't make me afraid. Like, I don't get a thrill the way that a lot of other people do. Like, it's not a roller coaster. I'm not like, whoa. But there is something there. There's something to the... I don't know. I can't quite figure it out. But this kind of movie makes me really question why I like horror movies. And that's something I'd like to figure out and be able to say.
Because it was that bad?
Or when you're asked at parties, why do you like horror films?
Yeah, like, why do you like watching? That's the question I get the most. Is like, I don't see why you like watching that. Like, what? I'm like, well, it's not like an excitement thing. It's not like people, I think people tend to make a more salacious inference about it than is true. Like, they're like, why do you, it's almost like they're implying like you get off on watching that stuff. And that's not necessarily true. It's just something that I like watching. There's a part of me now that thinks that I like the buildup in a horror movie more than I like the actual horror itself. It's why I think I like The Shining so much, is that that movie is about sort of the buildup to something bad happens. Because once
into the insanity.
Yeah, like him wielding an axe and all of that, like that's the most boring part of that movie to me. Like the real interesting part of that movie is him slowly becoming crazy, and the sound, like the sound of the tricycle on the floor, and like him staring into the distance and throwing that tennis ball. Like those are all the things that I love, and like that's what I like about horror movies, not necessarily the horrific stuff.
Well, that's why Halloween works so well. I mean, Halloween's really all build up and very, very brief, you know, mayhem. I mean, very as much brief. As anything. But I don't know. I think to some degree, this movie is gotten a bad rap to some degree, because it's very successful at what it wants to do in the time period that it was made. I mean, if there's nothing else that I looked at to say, the closest movie I can equate to this is Blair Witch Project, for something that people bought as being real that was so obviously not.
And speaking of something that completely pulled the wool over an entire country's eyes, like, that speaks to how naive we were in 1999, where people were like, this is real. Their ghosts are fucking real.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing. So, I mean, if nothing else, Faces of Death is the great grandparent of found footage, if you will, I guess. You know, I mean,
well, sure. And we talked about it even with, once we watched the Cannibal Holocaust, which we saw after Blair Witch, I believe. I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, no,
I definitely did. Yeah. I didn't see it until like 2003.
You could tell how much the Blair Witch filmmakers stole from Cannibal Holocaust.
Yeah, which I thought that really, that the sea turtle in the middle of Maryland scene was really dumb. They probably could have.
Right.
It didn't need to be that.
A weird thing to, like, a weird addendum to that is that, or I guess, connection to that is that most of the stuff, like, John Schwartz played many of the roles in this movie. Like, he was the convict who got executed. He was the cult leader. He played one of the cops.
Yeah, that was a pretty fake mustache. I remember that.
was he the cameraman at the alligator pond? With his sweet ass balls in his pants.
The alligator attack in Europe. Because that was definitely not the United States there.
And this is your daughter? Yes, it is.
It is. I love, but see, it's that kind of kitsch that makes this thing enjoyable to watch for me. Like, I know most of it's boring, and I watch the animal stuff, but I kind of want to see the fake bullshit, because that was the stuff I liked. I know that it's boring and underwhelming because it's not real, but I loved, like, why did they do that interview? Why did they think that would lend it authenticity? That's the kind of question I would ask myself, because he was the worst on-camera interviewer I've ever seen in my entire life.
Like, and I'm pretty sure the 9 on his microphone was just made prior to that out of a square, like, paper folded together and taped.
I don't know. Like, at this point, it is kind of quaint. And considering his reputation, that's a weird thing to say. The fact that it's just on a streaming service, it was banned in countries, and I keep going back to the Blair Witch Project.
It took some digging to find it when I first saw it. Not just that I found it at a video store, but then I had to actually time it right where I got it and it wasn't checked. You know, got there and it wasn't checked out. Like, enough to, like, you know, ask the guy to hold it for me and give him like $5 to hold the movie for me when it came in and call me. And then
that was like $100 in the '70s.
Yeah. And then get my parents to run me over to the, you know, video store, which they didn't seem to have much of a problem me renting it. So
yeah. It's really,
weren't there ripoffs at that time period? What were some of the ripoff series?
That would be a good thing to know.
Arms of Death.
Visage de la Muerte.
Limbs of Death.
I really wish I had seen it now
when I was younger, because I feel like so much of my life fixed. Huh?
You're kind of like Rod Stewart. I wish that I knew what I knew now.
Oh, I thought you meant like
when I was younger.
I was like, what is wrong with my hair?
I thought you were saying she was a little like Rod Stewart in that she wishes the girl was younger when he saw her.
Anyway, I think I had so many experiences working in newspapers and seeing dead people in very tragic ways, that watching it now, there's just no way to, the comparison that I'm able to have now is so fucked up and weird that there was this, I couldn't even give it the chance that I wanted to.
Oh, by the way, I don't think our listeners know that, but Lona is a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist.
It's true. I've hung out with a lot of dead people. Yeah.
She broke the big Winder Barrow bodies and cement case of.
I did break that. I broke that. That was a national story.
2012?
2013, I believe. Wow. But then I also. Moved from her family's well after her ex-husband bludgeoned her to death, and they had to pull her up. And
wow,
you know, dead people smell really bad.
Yeah,
guys.
They don't smell good. They don't smell.
It's
good.
And it's a weird smell. It's a smell that you recognize like as your own, and it's not like roadkill. You know,
here's a question. I've smelled dead animals that have been dead a while, and I imagine they smell pretty similar to what humans smell like. when they died, but I did happen to stumble upon a freshly murdered body once when I worked at the pet funeral home when on my way to lunch one. I may have told this story before.
No, I don't think so. Not on the podcast.
On my way to lunch, we happened to be at a stoplight, and I, of course, was looking on my phone. My friend Jill, who was with me, we were she was watching two men argue in a parking, in a garage, a car repair shop. And as the light turned green, she's like, oh, my God, that guy just punched, you know, this big black Suge Knight looking guy just punched this other dude in the garage. I was like, what? And I didn't see it. And I kept going. She's like, Brian, turn around and go back and see if this guy is okay. I was like, all right. So I go up a wrong way on a one-way street, to, and then this guy that she saw do the quote-unquote punching walks past us. Well, I pull the car in, and the guy is just laying in the garage. And I thought that he just got knocked out, so I immediately get up and run over to him and ask if he's okay, only to then see that his brain is out on the concrete, and he's dead, and blood is... I mean, it was so fresh that the blood hadn't really spread out from behind his head. You know, that was still happening, but it was just so... It's so surreal that what you just what you're seeing in front of you is dead.
Yeah, and it's
that's crazy.
That it's is, also
no life left in that.
When I think and it, what it makes me think of when I watch this sort of stuff too, I mean, to relate back to that, is that when you see situations where people die, especially when it's sort of self-inflicted, when it like the bear incident. I mean, it's a ridiculous part of the movie. Yeah.
It's but, like Grizzly Man, but
it might be my favorite sequence though. Come here, bear.
No, nah, man, I still think
say, come here, yeah. Bear.
I want to hug this bear. It looks so sweet.
He wants my picnic basket.
My picnic. but it makes me think about how if events were slightly different, this would not have been the outcome. Like if that guy hadn't, you know, done whatever to get shot, he would still be alive. Like it makes me think of like the irrevocable nature of death. Like that is the finality of it.
There's no coming back.
Right. Like there's no way like, oh man, no. If we can go back and apologize and make things right, like there's none of that. It is the finality. And
just so you, just some backstory: the guy they were arguing over. Apparently, the guy who did the shooting had bounced a check, and when he came back to pay, he brought a briefcase full of change. And the shop owner, of course, wouldn't accept it because it was kind of felt like a dick move, you know? Like, oh, mm-hmm. I'll pay my past due bill in pennies. Here you go, jag off. So when he wouldn't accept his money, that's when the gun was pulled.
God, like
I just wait. So he was
crazy.
Like, wait,
which
so
is still crazy because you
like,
were
no,
in
you
the
take
wrong,
my money?
Huh?
So the guy who was paying the debt was the one who shot the other one.
Yes.
So he was like, "I shot you because you won't take my money."
Well, I think what it came down to was the guy felt a respect thing. He bounced a check. This is what the detectives told us. I mean, I was pulled in like two or three times to talk about this case. What he explained to us, and he said that he just, you know, he brought the change back to be an asshole, and when the guy was an asshole back to him, that's when I mean, it's completely stupid.
Because that's fair. I mean, yeah. You know.
God, I hope if I get murdered, it's for like a reason.
Yeah, I know. Well, like
defending someone.
Here's
or just someone loving me so much they can't live with me not being with them, so they kill me.
I'm watching the show.
Right now?
It's from, I mean, this podcast is like, whatever. So 2010. There's a show on Netflix called The Killer Speaks, and it's interviews with killers who talk about their mm-hmm. And there's a guy named Maxim Gelman in New York. He sort of went on a PCP binge and then killed five people. And just, like, Lona, it's like you're saying, there were some people he just killed for being there. And, like, that's such a bizarre... I think it's one of the reasons why I'm so fascinated with the Tate-LaBianca murders. Like, I've been obsessed with the Manson murders for a really long time. And I think that's part of it is that it was such a random event that ended in absolute, like, such weird and bizarre circumstances that it's fascinating. I don't know. The other question I have, sorry, I'm taking over, but
we're getting deep.
Yeah. No, the other question I have is, Lona, you're talking about like how this movie did not live up because you've experienced all this stuff in real life. And you can totally say no, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. Do you think it's an unfair comparison between something that purports to be real but actually isn't and is really fake? Do you think it's an unfair comparison or not? I mean, this is just for the whole group. And it's just something that occurred to me while you were talking. It's not like I believe it necessarily, but What do you think about that?
I think it's, you're always at a disadvantage when you're comparing something that's fantasy to reality. But I think it's human nature because it's the only basis upon which I have to compare it to anything. Yeah.
But like,
and certainly having those experiences, it's practically impossible to remove them and watch this without being like, you know?
And it, is it because the line between the fantasy and the reality is supposed to be so close here? Like it tries to nudge too far to the line of reality to be considered fantasy?
I think so, because I think especially having spent 15 years of my youth and everything thinking that this was real, it's so hard to watch it now and be like, well, it's not real, but I thought it was, but it's not. But it's not at all real, like the real shit I've seen. And so I think it's a really weird gray area because, of course, if it were something else and I had no real experience, would I even be having this conversation? Or would I be like, yeah, that was just crazy and the alligator was hilarious. And that's not at all, you know, that's crazy how they scooped up that dude's body parts and just put them in that Ziploc bag.
That was one of the grosser sequences, actually.
But it was just watching it. It was like, and it really kind of started for me with the SWAT thing, because one of the coolest things I ever did in newspapers was I got to go through SWAT training.
That's awesome.
And I was just like, this is bullshit. This is not how they go through doors. This is not how they, and it was just, that was such a huge disconnect from the reality of how those sorts of things work.
Yeah.
That I think it sort of set me up for the rest of it to just be sort of scornful. Like my real death is way better than your fake death.
So, well, but I mean, if you think about like the Blair Witch Project, does it make it a less successful movie because people thought it was real? And it's so very obviously fake. I don't know the answer to that. That's just, I'm just navel gazing now.
Like, I don't know.
Like, cause did people actually think Paranormal Activity was a real thing when it came out? I can't remember.
I don't think so.
It was never, there was never enough, like you didn't have like a Sci-Fi Channel documentary.
Right.
That was accompanying it that people were actually watching and buying into at that point.
But it was on the very front end of the found footage, scary found footage stuff. So there was still, I don't know. I thought that I enjoyed the first Paranormal Activity a lot.
I like the second one a lot.
Well, I don't think enjoyment of it as it takes anything is taken away by saying I don't think it was believed. I mean, there were probably people who did, but there are people who believe that
aliens exist.
I mean, there are people that
whatever stupid.
There are still people that believe we did a moon landing. I mean,
well, there is someone somewhere who believes that Blair Witch is real.
Yeah, there's still someone who didn't get the memo.
Yeah.
People around that have these that believe local witches are and ghosts are real.
I live in the seat
I'm
of the
in my hometown.
Yeah, the Bell Witch. It's weird. Like with the Blair Witch Project, it wasn't just that I thought it was real. I wanted to believe it was real. I bought the DVD. I watched the documentary thinking like, oh man, this shit is so real. And then I saw a clip of them all on Late Night with David Letterman. I was like, God damn it.
And you saw a Steak and Shake ad with Heather Donahue.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't have Steak and Shake until college,
but they
college,
did a good
guys.
Job keeping those people.
Yeah.
I mean, to get some aspiring actors to do this movie and then not do publicity for it is a pretty big feat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something like Cannibal Holocaust where, like, what's his name? He had to produce the actors to prove that he should not be brought up on murder charges.
Yeah.
Howard Stern has this porn star on there from time to time, and apparently her jam is that she looks very underage. And some fan of hers was picked, like, they found his video collection and she was in it, and they made her come to court to testify because to prove that she was over 18 years old.
Ugh, that's so. Ugh.
They obviously had more other reasons to suspect this guy.
Right. Yeah, it wasn't. He wasn't just like, hey, I saw this. Let's go to court and call in a porn star.
The other movie that this makes me think about is, as long as we're making sort of final.
Police Academy 2?
Police Academy. Actually, Police Academy 4.
No. Okay.
That's the one in Russia, right? No,
yeah,
Sandman.
Yeah, 5 is Miami.
Yeah.
I think this movie reminds me a lot of Sandman. That was another movie that I watched that gave me a very gross feeling when I saw it. It's very successful in that way.
hey, we still have a movie done by one of the people who were interviewed in Sandman that we have yet to release.
That we recorded in 2012.
Yeah.
Literally 3 years ago.
But we did we released The Burrowers, right?
Yes.
We did release
that. That's the filmmaker who does Sandman.
Right, but we didn't release Kill the Scream Queen.
Right, yeah.
That one's still hanging
out. Lona, was that the first one you were on, or was Gina on that one? I think Gina was on that one. That's right. I know that we were.
First one was it The Conjuring?
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. And now you're a you're a member. Now you're a member, and we love you.
Aww.
You're not only the president of Horrible Podcast; you're also a member.
Bring in the estrogen every week.
We need it because this.
Bring in the single mom to the Horrible Podcast every week. I knew I could get it in there.
We need the estrogen because we're all just so full of testosterone. All three of us just raging testosterone all day.
Day.
Right. After we're done this podcast, I'm going to get turnt just like those women off the spit beer and Faces of Death.
So, would you recommend this movie to people?
No.
Yes. Yeah.
It depends on the person.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Children, when they still have like that sense of whims, I'd let my 9-year-old watch it. Can you imagine what our kids would do if you showed it to them?
God,
and
guys.
It's a great.
Can you imagine what my kid would do in terms of his emotional state? That kid would be all over the place.
Right. But it's a great entry in that sense because it's really tame, honestly.
Yeah. My kid's real sensitive, so.
Yeah, but no, I think stuff.
No, I get that, but that's why it's still something you could show them, though. I mean, that's the thing. It's.
The dog fight was like the hardest thing for me to watch.
The what?
Yeah, the dog fight. Real.
Yeah, the dog fight was hard to watch.
Well, you know, that's what pit bulls do. Pit bulls fight. That's
not true. That is not true.
The monkey scene in Temple of Doom was more realistic than that restaurant sequence.
Also, I kept thinking about after watching that monkey scene was after, you know, working around New World monkeys at work is that these people are going to die of a horrible disease because monkeys carry all sorts of issues. I mean, they won't even let us do a post-mortem without full, like, you know, face mask, rebreathing machines, and, you know, eye gear for a monkey on a downdraft table that's pulling everything out of into a treated area of the building. So these people are just eating raw monkey brain.
I did have that thought watching it where I thought about, you know, when this was made, this is, you know, there's no Ebola. You know, they don't even really know AIDS is at this point.
I don't think that there is an AIDS.
We don't
know
about it. We're not aware of it. And so you're watching this, and like the faces of death that are actually prevalent right now are so much worse.
Yeah.
And they just, maybe they just didn't have a good set of faces to work with.
I think we found the faces of death was the two couples at that table because they're literally dead now from eating monkey brain.
Well, that and they're like real old.
I will say that the other Faces of Death movies are just available on YouTube. So if you want to take a gander at them, you can just watch them on YouTube. The fourth one is the best one. It's the most ridiculous, but also the most entertaining, but also the most horrific. Gross.
Yeah. Which is kind of the point.
Four.
I mean, honestly, that's still the point with these. It's like you want the most horrific because we're complaining the first one's not horrific enough.
Well, when I was, you know, 13 or 14 when I saw this movie, it was horrific.
It was totally horrific. And I was I think, 8th grade. No, 9th grade. I don't remember. No, I was in 10th grade.
Yeah, point me to one that doesn't end with a stupid-ass paranormal sequence, though. Jesus.
Yeah.
That was really
bad.
A terrible idea. There's nothing there's just nothing that ruined that movie more than that. When you saw that, it's like, yeah, okay.
Is there anything that can't be faked? Is there anything that can be faked more than a paranormal sequence? I mean, you can't
see orgasms.
Is that not what she was doing? I thought that's what her like medium, you know,
her O face.
Yeah, is essentially what she did with an outline, an electrical outline they drew around her.
God.
Well, that's what happens when a woman orgasms.
Electrical outline.
Because no one's
ever
seen it.
Everyone knows that.
All right. There are some things I did want to bring up before you go. That I wanted to see if anyone else heard. Right, I'm pretty sure in the first thing when they go to Africa, I think he says country of Africa. I'm pretty sure in the country of Africa.
I wasn't paying attention.
I'm almost positive.
It was a country.
I was positive. Another thing is, what sort of gang war was that when they bring in the body with cowboy boots on?
He
was a pimp.
I immediately thought it was a Hispanic gang from the, you know, all the rival Hispanic fighting going on from the drug war.
That's exactly what Trump is talking about, you guys.
I just did not think that in 1978 as much.
You could tell by the pointed boots.
Why do they taped teeth or dentures to people's legs
so they don't lose.
Did you not see that in that one scene? When they went to the autopsies, yeah, there were teeth. He has teeth taped to the leg, the dead body.
Well, they're going to need them for the funerals, the open casket. They're going to need those teeth back.
It's kind of like putting your gum, like, under the desk. It's just a place marker. The teeth have to go there for later.
How about the curve feelers on the assassin's sweet-ass Cadillac?
I know.
That was a terrible scene. That felt like a sketch comedy group.
It wasn't very funny
doing a sketch. You know?
But they were so, like, they wanted you to feel horrified. It was just so weird.
Or that we were in real, the presence was really just horrible.
The fact that it was a French assassin. You were supposed to
be contemplative when it was over.
Yeah, the French assassin. The fact that it was a French assassin made it it just made it so much funnier to me that it was just a French guy.
It was like a Monty Python sketch.
Yeah.
I have one last question. Has anyone ever been thawed back to life?
No.
This whole idea of cryogenics.
I think that was real.
I'm really questioning it because I'm really wondering, all these people think they're going to be brought back with their terminal cancer after being pumped full of all these, you know, chemicals. Has this actually been used to bring someone back?
No.
The thing is, Drew, you're hedging your bets that all of this will be figured out.
They'll even figure out how to bring you back.
Yeah.
To be fair, though, there are medical procedures now where your body temperature is dropped to such a low state and for heart attacks and stuff.
Yeah.
And they will drop it down to the low 90s for an extended period of time. Not, you know, frozen, but we're getting there. If we can live long enough, we will get there.
It's all I'm saying. You're talking about getting Vanilla Skied, and that the whole idea is we can't fix you now, but in the future we'll be able to.
Right.
We'll freeze you.
I get that, but I'm still saying they're pumping the blood out and putting in like antifreeze.
It worked for Keith Richards like 8 times. He's fine.
That's what I'm wondering.
They didn't tell you that they're putting Keith Richards' blood back into them.
That's true. That's how he's alive.
Keith Richard Ozzy Osbourne cocktail of blood.
They're like pickled. They're like just pickled human beings just walking in the earth.
All right. No, I would. Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to show this to my kid. But
it's on YouTube.
That, I'd say, whatever. It was dangerous when I was young. Now after, like as Luna said, Live Leak and
Reddit,
World Star Hip Hop. Then you know, we're fine. I can find
out. But it was never real, and that is, and so it was never going to be as much as that.
Yeah.
Like that's the problem. But it's innocent and not actually people dying. So you don't have to actually feel like a horrible person.
Well, guys, we watched this on Shudder, so make sure you go check out Shudder.
@Shudder on Twitter.
Yeah, and Shudder, just Shudder.com. It should be Shudder.tv, but I don't know why it's not. Well, whatever.
I know.
I'll talk to him.
Yeah.
I've been looking at the live streaming thing when you load it on, and I've been watching a couple of those movies.
It's fun to just turn movies on in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the old days.
Kids.
Like when you cut on AMC.
Right. All right, guys. That's it for us. I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Drew.
I'm Lona.
And thanks for listening.
We'll see you next time on the Faces of Death podcast.